Hi, it's Larry Herb, Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Xbox podcast. After last week, I really don't know how Jeff and I are gonna hold a candle to what you did, Rebecca. Great job last week.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed your time off. I was busy interviewing some really cool women for International Women's Day.
Yeah, you did a great job with that. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to or watch the show, please feel free to go back and do it. Rebecca, that was the first show you've hosted like stem to stern, end to end. It's exhausting, isn't it? I mean, you got a lot of work to do.
It really is. I didn't think it was going to be as time consuming, but it was. But it was good though. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear it.
Podcast police are coming in and saying this job is easy. Stop pretending it's not.
That's exactly right.
No, but sorry, but yeah, it's. I think I'm nearing my 1 year anniversary with you guys on the show.
Yes,
and so it's. You know, it kind of, I remember when it started, it was Larry, I feel like you've kind of been sneakily adding more and more to my plate. Because when I first started, it was like, oh, just come on. We're going to talk about the games we're playing. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then a couple weeks later, it's like, let's have you do an interview. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then fast forward now, it's like, let's have you do a whole show. Like, well, am I going to be planning everything, producing?
No, it's just, I didn't want to overwhelm you because it can be overwhelming. So let's get you started, get comfortable. Let's try an interview. We did that. And now, I mean, with International Women's Day, you are the perfect person to host it, because not only obviously you're a woman, but the fact that you've got, you know, all these great connections with some people in the industry. Like, I mean, I think, Britt was great. Of course, you met, you talked to Britt, and Jen was a good friend of ours. But let's talk about Agnes, because everybody loves Agnes from the Minecraft team. Right, Jeff?
Oh, she said just a couple of things. I mean, there are certain people, and I listened on audio. I listen to most podcasts on audio. I realize we do focus on the video part of this. And certain people, you can just listen to them talk all day. And Agnes was one of those people. But I want to back up a second to – so first of all, Rebecca, you did great. But I do have a gripe.
Uh-oh.
And that gripe is, did we have to bring on a guest – Britt Brombacher, huge fan, blonde nerd, been talking to her for years. By the way, she was great on the show. Fantastic interview. Do you think you can't talk to me about Japanese whiskey? We had to go outside of the podcast in order to talk about it. Like, I was like, I thought we were close. And I think you specifically said, and I'm going to indirectly quote you here, there's no one I can talk about this
with. Yeah. Okay. And, I definitely said that verbatim.
Now
we talk about every other food. My mistake. Sorry.
Wow. You're back here next time. We're doing a tasting. We're doing something of that nature. And you know what? We'll invite Britt because she lives in Western. Actually, that would be great. All right.
Yeah.
So, ideas bubbling here. So
I like this.
When are you coming back? I want to have you back.
I'll be back soon.
It was great when we did that show together. Okay.
Soon. Stay tuned. And, when you do come back soon, I think we did last time, I think we'll do an in-studio thing again so we can all be in the same place. So we'll work on that. But anyway, let's get into the show and talk about what we're playing. Rebecca, after you, have you had a busy week of playing Elden Ring, which I know Jeff's going to talk a lot about in a minute?
So I haven't been playing anything this week, but I was going to start Elden Ring. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to watch a couple like guides and like walkthrough videos first. And I have to say, like, this is actually, I don't think I'm going to play Elden Ring. I think I'm really, really enjoying. I started watching, like, there's this one guy, Fightin' Cowboy, on YouTube. And I've watched a lot. He has like an endless number of videos on Elden Ring, but I really like his like narration style and like the way he's playing. Like, I've been like reading through the comments. Like, I have to say, like, I haven't really been, maybe it's because I'm like old. I don't know. But I haven't really been a fan of like watching other people play games. Like, I've always been more of the, I'd rather play it myself.
It's funny. I find that interesting because you work on Minecraft, which what is it on YouTube, was like a quadrillion number of hours that have been up there, some ungodly number. So it's interesting, but I know you watch some YouTube videos for Minecraft, but you don't really watch them for gameplay generally.
Yeah, not really. Well, with Minecraft, like, there are things I just can't do. Like, there are amazing things that people have created, put a lot of effort into. Like, there's just so much skill. But with a game like Elden Ring, I feel like I mean, honestly, like, I was already a little bit like hesitant because of the difficulty setting on it, and just I get frustrated easily. Like when I do play through RPGs, I like to do like the easy mode, and so right. that I can just like kind of play through the story
mode,
and get
story
through
mode.
It.
Just call it story
right.
mode.
Right. Okay. Thank you. But so anyway, I like honestly, I don't think I'm going to play Elden Ring. I think I'm just going to continue watching these like video walkthroughs because I've really been enjoying them, and I feel like I'm seeing a lot more of the game than I would if I were to like try to bother with it myself. So. Anyway, sorry. That's like a really lame way of saying I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos this week. But anyway, I don't know. Okay, Jeff, how's it been playing?
Now I will give the impassioned defense. Now, look, I would not consider myself a Souls bro. And I know that there's sort of like, well, there is sort of, I think, a perception that's like, if you're not good at Dark Souls, get good, you know, and that could be a turnoff for a lot of players, myself included. It wasn't until a friend sat me down and sort of, I want to say, made me play Dark Souls 3.
Who was that? Do I know who that was?
It was Andy Lunique, the gaming chef.
Yeah.
And he literally came over. He was like, I'm going to sit here and we're not leaving until you beat this first boss. And then I did. And then I felt that sense of empowerment. And if you recall, actually, you did a PAX East podcast, a panel
that you couldn't go to.
I couldn't go because I had to work, but
I think it was Laura and I, right?
If I recall correctly, but I dialed in, but I don't know why. I was like very like fixated on this boss, and I just was fighting the boss.
He was playing it while he was doing the podcast.
And right at the end of the panel, I beat the boss and I turned the camera around and everyone cheered.
And the whole room lit up.
It was a great moment. Aww. So, and I ended up beating that game like despite all the odds. Now, this is what I will say about Elden Ring. If you don't want to play Elden Ring, I understand everything that you're saying. What I will say is don't let the difficulty get into your head, because while the game is certainly not easy, you have more tools at your disposal than you ever have had in a sort of a Soulsborne game, as they tend to call them. You can summon in friends. You can bring in, I have like these undead soldiers that I just ring this bell and they come in and they start stabbing. In fact, last night I was fighting a boss. I had my little skeleton dudes and I basically stand back and I'm throwing spells at it. And it was like a night ghost thing. It killed me, but right as it killed me, my ghosts got the final hit it and they killed it. And when I rezzed, it was dead.
So it registered the death. You didn't die before it did.
It registered the death. It counted. I got the points. I got the whatever it dropped.
That's fantastic.
And I was able to move on to the game. And there's just sort of a sense of empowerment that you get. This is how I summarize this for a friend. It felt like high school. When you come in as a freshman, you're like, oh my God, all the people are so big. The halls are so big. It's so crowded. This is so intimidating. And then like a couple hours later, you feel like a senior. You're walking through. You're like, I own this place. Oh, you think you're tough? Psh, dead, one hit. Not that you're not. I mean, okay. Maybe.
Yeah, but that's after you get
that's
your
where
head.
It breaks down a little bit.
That's after you get your head bashed into the locker a couple times.
You do. I did skip that. But there's that sort of like an accelerated growth where you go back through the same place and you're like, I can't believe I used to be scared to be here. Right. And that is like really, that can feel really good and really empowering. And whenever I felt this is like, I think my favorite part of, and you've touched on this, Rebecca, of playing Elden Ring is the community that sprung up to support it and to support other players. So within like in our, like there's some great, great web resources, I will say on YouTube. I've been watching Carpo Gaming, Moxie has been great. The game doesn't tell you a lot. And so I feel no regret, no hesitation to look things up. What does that mean? Where do I go? What's a good build? All this stuff. And because it doesn't beat the enemies by doing that, but it like, oh, okay, now I understand. Oh, yeah. I should have dropped down off this bridge and there's a really cool thing that is now increasing my enjoyment of the game. I would say researching the game is probably half the fun. From what I'm told, or sharing things like, oh, did you do this?
Yeah.
And like sharing these sort of like, oh, you can farm runes over here. And I think the community around it is part of the reason, and just sort of the quote unquote water cooler talk or whatever, is part of the reason that so many people are playing and enjoying the game that might not have played and enjoyed the game before. So if you don't want to play the game, because it's hard or whatever, I get it. But I would be more than happy to, and I think other folks on the team, if you want to just like run like co-op and just like have fun and bash some stuff. And I think Larry, actually, we did this. And
yeah,
and I would love to hear from you.
That was together. Yeah, that was, well, that was exactly what happened. I was playing it and I was telling Jeff, I'm like, wow, this is, because I'm not the Dark Souls bro. I played a little bit, but I wanted to play this game because if you look, you know, I'm sure you did the same thing, either folks listening or viewing, or, you know, Rebecca, you did this. You look at Metacritic, it's like, it's off the charts. And so I'm like, oh, I gotta see what's going on here. And I downloaded it, of course, and I started playing it. And I was having, you know, I kind of got into the first area and got killed and got killed again and got killed the third time. And so I just,
For those of you who have been playing, he immediately took on the Tree Knight. And you will know that that's
just like, there was someone right there.
I was like, let me just picking on the senior who's the captain of the football team and the weightlifting team immediately. And with predictable results.
Anyway, so Jeff's like, well, let's do, I said, Jeff, can we do co-op? And he's like, well, it's a little complicated. I'm like, how complicated can it be? It's complicated. You got to get enough things. You got to unlock the ability to make a spell, or, you know, got to have a crafting kit, and then I got to get the right flowers, and then I got to be in the right place and put something down, and then the moons line up and the stars happen and Jeff joins and then this bird starts singing.
Once I did get in, what was the experience like?
Oh, we had and you know, I've said this many times on the show that a lot of games are made better by your friends and co-op. But this was not only that, but it was just, we just had a lot of fun. You were showing, okay, do this. Let's hide around here. There's going to be somebody over here. I'm having a great time with the game, but I am moving. Like, I think I've maybe gone 1,000 feet radius from when you spawn. Like, I'm just staying in that area, just kind of having fun and trying to figure the mechanics of the game out. You know, I saw, oh, there's a big monster. Oh, there's a big crab. Not going to go over there yet. So
which class did you guys choose?
Oh boy, I don't even remember. the second box over, I think, is what I did. I look at it graphically.
I'm a confessor. I decided I wanted to do like sort of ranged abilities. So there's sort of like a wizard or a sorcerer type of build that uses magic. And then which I did for Dark Souls 3, I want to say. And then, or something like that. And then confessor uses faith. And I don't know. So I was like, let me just try this. And now I've got this like spear of lightning I can chuck at people. I've got this black flame. I can summon a dragon's head and use it like a flamethrower. That's awesome. You know? And I don't know. This is not a game that beats you down. I think this is a game that empowers you. You just might have to go through some tough knocks and sort of learn the hard way from time to time. But I'm finding it very rewarding in a way that I did not expect to. This is a game I wanted to try out, but now it is the only thing I want to play. And I will see this thing through to the end, and I'm enjoying every moment of it.
And
then I can stop talking about it.
It's highly rated. People, it's sold a ton of copies. It's doing quite well from what I understand. But Jeff, you've got something actually there that the team sent you. Is that accurate? I mean, you said at the beginning of the show, I have something to show you. So let's go to that.
Yeah, let's see screen. It.
Yeah, let's.
Larry, I don't have white gloves, but I do.
Okay.
I think these are a size small, so it's a little snug.
Oh, but
this, so you see that box over my left shoulder here?
Yep.
That's what this came in. They sent me the this is not comfortable. The Elden Ring Collector's Edition for Xbox Series X. I don't know what's in it, so I want to unbox it. And
we're gonna do it here. We're gonna do it on the show here. We're gonna do it on the show.
Can we?
Oh, let's do it. Let's. I mean, you're full screen. The floor is all yours. Rebecca and I will sit back and you can.
Yeah. It's very entertaining.
So I think you have to do the thing that all the unboxing influencers do. They usually have like big sabers. I just have a box cutter. But so first of all,
yes,
is this.
Ooh.
So this is the collector's edition, which is it's a meaty box.
Huge.
So there's a lot of stuff in here. A hardcover art book, a physical version of the game, a steel book, a statue of Malenia, who everyone tells me, and I'm not there yet, is like the toughest boss in the game. So, and I think showed up in the initial trailer. Do you remember when Elden Ring was announced during E3, Xbox E3, like 2018? 17, 18?
Yeah.
It's amazing that we're here now, and it's even more amazing.
A blade of
it has completely lived up to the hype. All right.
Rarely do games do that. So this is first of all, thank you to the teams for sending this over to Jeff for his unboxing.
Boxes within boxes. I don't get to do this too often. So tell me, give me feedback as I'm doing this. Am I doing this wrong? Boxes that look like, oh, okay. So first we have,
you're doing great.
This book. I have this helmet now. So I feel like a real badass that I have this wolf helmet right now. I'm definitely going to want to flip through that.
All right.
The art style in the game is really odd. You don't think of a game like sort of like Destroyed Beauty, I guess is what I would call it.
Destroyed Beauty. All right.
Well, there's like Amazing Vistas, and but it's not colorful necessarily. All right. Now we have another thing here.
By the way, the rubber gloves are selling it.
Thank you. Yeah. By the way, like the grip here, I could like palm a basketball. Right. I feel like they're wide receiver gloves, which,
American right, football
this looks
reference.
Like a box that's going to sort of have like a stage open. So let us do that.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
That, I believe, is Melania, the boss that I have not yet encountered, but that is a badge.
That is waiting for you.
About
she looks difficult.
10 inches tall. So, yeah, she doesn't need to see you.
That looks like if you can bust it, it looks like an award.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That's a very good point. Please don't drop. Okay.
An Oscar, an Emmy, or a Game Award. It looks like one of those.
Oh.
I feel like there was a Digimon that looked like this back in the day, too.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
It was an honor to be nominated, but I just, first of all, I would like to thank my family for winning this podcasty. Is that a thing?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, and it is not articulated.
Does the arm come off?
Well, if you break, it looks. I think that her structure is articulated, but I don't think this is meant. This is not an action figure,
right? Per se.
She's going to kick my ass at some point, several hours down the line. All right.
All right. What else we got?
There. Okay. Well, there's multiple boxes here.
I'm sure people have done this unboxing already. So
I'm sure. So then there's a giant box here. Larry, I am making up for years of unboxings you've gotten to do. Oh my
this
god!
This is his first unboxing. Let him have it.
I am. I'm letting him breathe.
There is a.
I'm gonna go grab a sandwich.
This is hard.
By the way, I think that box contains one of the things that I despise in my life, and that is styrofoam.
Yes.
Oh. Well, this sounds first of fantastic. All,
certificate of authenticity, 971. So there's only 6,000 of these.
Right.
I looked on Amazon, this collector's edition. There is currently one available. One. So, Larry.
I'm looking.
We should give these away. We should give this thing away at some point. Is that something we can explore?
Yeah, we can find a way to do that. Oh, look at this thing. There it
is.
Oh
my god.
Yeah, this is going up on, I mean, I don't, this is by a third party seller. It's currently $288.
Oh my gosh.
It's a third party seller, but still.
Now that's nice. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Put it on. Put it on.
Wow.
That's fantastic. What's that made out of?
How do I look? I can't hear you.
You look here. Let's go back
only
here.
Assume that I look amazing. Tough, nigh invincible.
Here's the side view.
There we go. Oh, here we go.
I like it.
I always thought my head was big, but maybe it's not big enough.
This is impressive.
I wonder if he can see though.
Yeah, I don't know if he can see. I like that.
That's your thumbnail, Larry.
Could you see with it on?
Yeah,
with it on properly.
No, it is the same. It is the Melania helmet. It looked like it was exactly the same.
And you don't have that helmet yet.
Oh no! I'm assuming I'd have to defeat her, which right, I don't even sense. Know where in the game she is. The game is gigantic. There's one last thing here. I don't know what this is, so let me just open it real quick.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Maybe a sense of anticlimax here.
Wasn't that the steelbook? Yes. Oh, it's a stand.
Oh, you think helmet? This is a mere stand for the helmet? This is the most powerful weapon in Elden Ring. The helmet katana. Okay, it's a stand for the helmet. So yeah. That is the Elden Ring Collector's Edition.
Not available. I mean, cool. Pretty much.
I'd like for us to explore. Thank you for bearing with me on what was, I'm sure, a clumsy unboxing, but I didn't cut myself. It's safety retraction. Keep your fingers on. Germ free.
Yep. Thank you.
I enjoyed seeing the box kind of hitting you in the face while you were like opening it. The styrofoam noise was excellent.
Thank you. 10 out of 10. Yes. Would unbox again.
Yes.
So that's awesome. There are still some of them out there. So if you're the ultimate Elden Ring fan, you're going to want that. And Larry, let's explore if we can
yeah.
do we got a giveaway.
Way to give it away.
I think that would be great. And when my wife comes in here and sees boxes and styrofoam all over the place.
It's the way my office looks all the time. So you'll get used to it. Thank you for that, Jeff. We've got a couple of interviews this week that we want probably should get to. One of which is you can look can't see behind me because I've got it a little bit up here, but you can probably see it better on Jeff's screen. Because
on Jeff's.
Yeah, because the way it's Tunic and talk to the lead developer for Tunic. And actually, Rebecca, why don't you? I know you got the notes there. Why don't you go ahead and bring us into the interviews because we got some good stuff this week.
Yeah, so this week Tunic arrived day and date on Xbox Game Pass, and so to celebrate, Larry
that? Was that a squeal?
I was like, "Woo!" But like then I my voice cracked because I'm a teenager.
Sorry.
Anyway, so Larry spoke with Andrew Schultes, who's the lead over working on Tunic, and then we also have an interview coming up from Jeff, who spoke with Dirk Van Welden, and he is from the game Shredders, which is a snowboarding game, so I'm very excited to learn more about it, so let's go into the interviews.
As we discussed earlier in the show, Tunic is coming day and date to Game Pass. Joining us today is Andrew Schultes, who's the lead for Tunic. Andrew, great to see you.
Hi, nice to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you and talk about your title and day and date to Game Pass. This is so great. Now, I know that there's a lot of folks have been listening to the show and probably remember Tunic thinking, wait a minute, I think I remember seeing this title before because it's there was a demo earlier this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. People were able to play it on their Xboxes at home.
And it was great. Now, tell us about what the purpose of the demo was, what you learned, and kind of how about the main release coming up.
Yeah, for sure. So we used to show the game at events and things like that. But in this day and age, it made a lot of sense to be like, hey, we should let people do this at home. And that was really incredible because it's just so wonderful to be able to see people, you know, playing this thing and sort of like look over their shoulders and watch them participate in a thing without necessarily knowing that a developer is looking at them behind their shoulder. And now the full game is coming out day one on Xbox Game Pass, which is incredible. And so many more people are going to be playing it. And that's deeply exciting, a little bit scary, but mostly very exciting.
Now, we're seeing a little bit of the gameplay here. Now, the game is very cute. And again, I remember playing the demo, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers and listeners do. But tell us a little bit about the gameplay. I see a little fox here, and does the fox have a name?
Not really. No, the fox is you. We like to think of it as this is your avatar in the world, and you're going on this adventure, you know, and you're the one driving little fox, but you're the one having the adventure.
Tell us a little bit about what the gameplay is all about, though, because there's a lot of elements to the gameplay, and I think it's really interesting what you've done here.
Thanks. So it's the elevator pitch is that it's an isometric action adventure about a tiny fox in a big world where you explore the countryside, you fight monsters, and you find secrets. And yeah, so when people play it,
you say that, and everyone goes, that sounds like Zelda.
Those sorts of comparisons do get thrown around a lot, and there's definitely some inspiration there. And of all of those games, I'd say it's probably the early ones, this idea of, you know, being plopped down into a big world and just sort of being told, go out there and explore.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. And the game, you know, I played a little bit of it, as I said, the demo, and I'm looking forward to the full release. Now, you know, as we record this, it's now available on Xbox Game Pass, so go download it right now. But the game is full of secrets, right? You've got you've taken a lot of effort to kind of build this world and create the, a place for people to play around in and have fun, and also you've hidden a lot of secrets.
Yes, indeed. So my favorite sort of feeling when playing games is the moment of discovery when you realize that, you know, the world has suddenly expanded in your mind a little bit. It's not just that you discovered that there's a bombable wall here. It's that you discovered that there are bombable walls in this world, and now every wall could have a secret in it. We really wanted to capture that sort of like old school feeling of wonder. One of the ways that we did that is by being pages of the instruction manual scattered around the world. So as you play, you're going to fight monsters and find secrets and things. You'll find these instruction manual pages that are like, you know, old school manuals that have all kinds of things in them like you would expect from a manual, like maps and tips and tricks and, you know, probably some secrets in the margins.
Now, it's funny you say that because I'm on the older end of, you know, most gamers, and you know, you're a little bit younger than I, but we do remember the excitement of buying the game and opening and you know, when your mom or dad was bringing you home, that's all you had until you were able to install it and download it or you know, really get it ready to go, because the installation usually took a while. So it's interesting that you leaned in on this instruction manual. Instruction manual thing, because it's a lot of people don't even remember those anymore, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's something that's a little bit lost these days. I think there are some people out there like you and I that are going to remember it though. And that same sort of feeling of, yeah, poring over the pages. And, you know, I have memories of not being able to play the games because, you know, someone else is playing right now, but I had the manual and I could flip through. And as a child, I had no idea what all these words meant. And I was seeing illustrations of things that I couldn't really comprehend. And it was just, it felt infinite, you know? And that's really exciting to me. And hopefully we've captured a little bit of that with Tunic.
Yeah, to your point, maybe you couldn't use the console or the computer that you wanted to run that game on. And sometimes you just took the manual and went up to your bedroom and kind of were paging through it and making notes in the margins and thinking about, oh, this is what I'm going to do the next time I get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people are going to have that experience with Tunic.
Now with Tunic, it's such an interesting game. Tell us about the design decision, you know, to go isometric and kind of have this really, you know, this cute little fox and this cute little world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love isometric perspective games. There's just this really nice rigidity to it that has a sort of classic feel, even though it's obviously like a modern video game. And it's isometric perspectives almost have this sort of like feeling of exploring a map, like on a printed page, you know, because everything is so sort of aligned to that grid. And it also allows us to do sneaky things like hide things behind stuff. You know, the camera angle is fixed, so it's very intentional. There are all kinds of secret paths that you can slip into, like you could see there in the sewer, someone just found a secret there. And those are all over the place. You know, it's one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot as we're getting close to release is how I used to think, oh no, there aren't any secrets in this game because, well, we knew all of them. We put them there, right? And so it might have felt like there weren't all those secrets. But now that we're seeing people play it for real, you know, it's like, wow, no, we really did pack this thing full of stuff for people to find.
Yeah, and it's such great to have a game like this on Game Pass because you, as game developers, you can focus on building a great game and you have this instant access to millions of people like that who are going to download the game, and some people that maybe they would have never looked at this game, but because they're Game Pass subscribers, they can download it and take a look at it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's our hope that people are going to, you know, all over the world, all walks of life are going to see this little fox and think like, oh, yeah, I could be that. Let's dive in.
Now we saw a little bit of the gameplay earlier. There may be some boss battles and then some intermediate battles. Tell us a little bit about the combat.
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing that people often say when they have sat down with it for a moment or two, they'll say, oh, this is really cute, but you know, it can get hard. You know, we've definitely, you know, just like some old school video games, it's got a little bit of challenge to it in places. And I think that's part of feeling, you know, brave in a hostile world is, you know, having challenges that are, you know, worth your time and attention. Specifically, some of the things that we have are, you can see there, we've got a combat dodge that's and a stamina meter associated with it. Stamina works a little bit differently than you might expect with some games. It's more of a risk reward system. So you can always attack and you can always even do your dodge. It's just that if you're at zero stamina points, you're at a disadvantage. You know, maybe sure. You don't have as many iframes. Maybe you're going to take more damage. So it's really up to the player. You know, if they really want to go all out and do that last dodge, they can, and they can keep dodging. But at that point, they're putting themselves at risk. And I think people are going to have a good time sort of figuring out what their play style is with this. And there's all kinds of other stuff too, like, you know, secret techniques. And well, a lot of them are secret, so maybe I shouldn't say.
That's a good point. And as you said, this is really, it's a game about discovery, whether you're discovering the weapons, the characters, the enemies, or the secrets that you mentioned earlier. It's about just enjoying and exploring the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's this really particular feeling of looking at a world and just feeling it be ripe with possibility. You know, you just want to explore that space and really find things, you know, not just feel like the game is doling out rewards at the appropriate time, but feeling like, wow, I really figured this out. I really found this cool thing that maybe my friends didn't find out about. And that's another cool thing about it being day one on Xbox Game Pass is that I think a lot of people are going to be exploring and sharing their experiences with one another. And that just is really heartwarming.
Tell us about your team. I mean, you're the lead for Tunic. Tell us about your team. Are you all located? Where are you all located? Are you distributed? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're spread out a little bit. So I'm the primary developer, but we also have a stellar audio team. So Kevin Regamy of Power Up Audio, whose work you've almost certainly heard before, is doing sound design. And Lifeformed, which is Terrence Lee and Janice Kwan, is doing the soundtrack. We also have help from Eric Billingsley, who came on board to help, you know, put the finishing touches on a lot of the environmental design in the game. Yeah. That's sort of the core team there. And we've got lots of ancillary support from publisher Finji as well.
And that's great to hear, because, you know, we're just excited. And the beauty of, you know, of the developers like yourself, of, you know, small and nimble indie developers are able to really, really iterate a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the difference between maybe the demo that we played earlier this year, that maybe some folks did, and the final release. What are some of the things you learned?
Yeah. So the differences are going to be great. Obviously, it's the full game now. And maybe you'll go through some areas that you recognize. But, you know, a lot of the secrets have been changed a little bit. There are some tweaks to mechanics that people are going to notice. But one of the cool things about being able to see people play that demo was getting a good understanding of, you know, what people want to find, where they want to go. You know, there was a really tough monster that we hid away in the demo, sort of as an Easter egg, but people just really got into it. And they were really good. They made it their personal mission to go and conquer this giant skeleton. And I think people are going to enjoy maybe, you know, revisiting the areas that they saw in the demo. And then just, I'm sort of astounded when I look at it and be like, wow, this is kind of a big video game for a team this small. So it's going to be cool to see.
Now, are all of the levels, we saw some of the levels and some of the gameplay a moment ago, are they all handmade? Are they procedural? Tell us about that.
Everything's handcrafted. So the world is this interconnected place. You've seen a few areas and there are a bunch more. And I think one of the things that people are going to find is not only are there little passages like, oh, I can slip behind here and there's a treasure. That's neat. But they're going to realize, oh, wait, this area is connected to that area, is connected to this area. And that's entirely intentional. The hope is that people are going to play the game and they'll probably play through it in a particular way. But as you go, you're going to realize, hey, wait a second. I could have done this in an entirely different order. I could have, now that I know about this, I could have gotten this. And now that I know about this, I could maybe approach this in an entirely different way. And I think the speedrun community is maybe going to have a blast with this, I hope.
Interesting. Now, as you're playing with your character, you're really unlocking weapons within the game itself and maybe some abilities. There's not really a concept of leveling up your character. Is that accurate?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you should flip through the manual sometime and see if there's something about that. Who knows?
Well, I don't want to give too much away. I mean, it's such a lovely moment of discovery, as we discussed, where people can kind of find those secrets and discover the gameplay and not have too much spoiled. I mean, we saw some of the gameplay, you know, we saw the demo earlier this year, Andrew. And more importantly, it's now available on Xbox Game Pass. So I'm looking forward to everyone sending their feedback and hit me up on Twitter. And, you know, I know you've got Twitter as well. I'll put that up here so that people can hit you up. But I really appreciate your time today and congratulations on launch.
Thank you so much. This is a real pleasure and I'm so excited.
We are getting into the end of the ski season here in the Northern Hemisphere, but don't worry, as the snow starts to melt, we have a whole new way to shred on the mountain. That's because Shredders is now available on Xbox through Xbox Game Pass. And here to tell us all about it, joining us actually from Belgium, from Brussels, Belgium, Dirk Van Welden, the captain at Full Punch, the developer of Shredders. Congratulations on launch, sir.
Yeah, thank you. It was a heavy road and we had a lot of fun, but yeah, it took us a couple of years to finish this game, but I was super happy and super stoked that it's finally out.
That's awesome. So first I would love for you to talk about what type of snowboard game this is, because, you know, people of a certain age, when I grew up playing, you know, snowboard games, it's very cartoony, you know, doing things that could never happen in real life. And so as I started playing Shredders a few days ago, I noticed, okay, I'm working up to a 540, you know, which is, you know, just learning really from the basics, not immediately trying to hold all the different buttons at the same time and do, you know, 10 backflips. And so I would love for you to just talk about how you decided this, you know, a more realistic angle for snowboarding.
Well, first of all, when I bought my first Xbox, I had Amped on it. And Amped was one of my favorite snowboarding games. And it had a sense like it had also this kind of balance between realistic movement and then the snowboarding itself was just, it felt great. It wasn't super easy, but it felt great. And then you had like the whole influx of extreme sports games, and then in the end, like, you had Tony Hawk, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And then at a certain moment, there was Skate, like, out of nowhere, and people asking, why are people making Skate? Like, there's already Tony Hawk, why is Skate there? And a lot of people were kind of skeptical at first, but when they played it, they saw, like, okay, it's a completely different type of game. It's more about making even like a simple 180 feel fun, more about real life challenges, still not a simulator, but kind of like balancing it more towards simulation. And we kind of, like, me and Marcus, the CTO, were kind of like, we had a similar vision. We already worked on a snowboarding game that had like really nice animations, and I wanted like realistic slopes and cool missions and storyline in there. And just the two combined, I feel that we made something that could be described as like a skate of snowboarding. We were both avid snowboarders, so we really wanted something in there. But yeah, it's not a game that might be for everyone. Like, for example, if you take Riders Republic, it's mostly focused on racing. It's really nice. It's made for that. It does a great job at that. Our game is more like, it's more about style and learning the tricks themselves on the go. Just like if you're playing Rocket League for the first time, you're just driving to a ball and you'll do something. But if you're an advanced Rocket League player, you'll fly all the time. And you'll see, like, if you're online and you'll see other players, you'll see just with the same amount of stats, because you don't have any stats that are growing, but the same amount of feeling, you'll be able to do way more just because you're learning how to ride. It's really about feeling and trying to get as realistic as possible to the real thing while still being fun for everyone. I think that's why it was made.
I think that's a great description. The skate of snowboarding is like right there. I snowboard not very well, but I do think that you really captured the feeling of being on the mountain. And it's very hard, I think, to kind of describe that, but you feel like you're outside when you're there. And my character's not making turns that are impossible to make in real life because you would catch an edge. You're not just like, you can't just move back and forth in that way. And there's just something about it where it's like, oh yeah, this really feels like snowboarding. And so kudos on doing that. But I would love to talk. We were just looking at some cool, probably later maps in the game. And there is this, a lot of diversity in the natural landscape, these massive parks. So what was like the most fun area for you to create?
The cool thing is, like, it started like the whole mountain range. We figured out, oh, this is kind of impossible to make something like that with just a team of like 10 full-time people. So like 15 people worked on this, and we're like, okay, this needs to be done procedurally. So we generate a mountain range that was as realistic as possible. And then we start looking like, okay, we want to have different spots. What are we seeing in snowboard movies? So like, you have the typical ski domain, and that's frozen wood where you'll see it from time. And this is, for example, an industrial area. There's a whole bunch of movies that are like in these industrial-like areas, so we kind of capture it as well. Side hits, you saw Arthur Longo doing side hits on the road gaps. We have events that are inspired, like locations that are inspired on events, real snowboarding events. So all of these small things, even like an Italian village, there was a snowboarding movie with like a super nice Italian village, and they were snowboarding through those streets. And we wanted to capture that and bring it into a video game. And yeah, just working on all those different locations, it has a complete different feeling. Like in the Italian village, you can't go too fast. It's like keeping control. High mountain areas, like most people in most games would just go straight on and super fast, but you see that it's super hard to control, so you have to manage your speed to do like a decent jump. While in parks, you can just go full ahead because they're shaped to have that specific speed, mm-hmm. and you can do super big triple course or quad course or whatever while still landing and continuing. So most of them were just very diverse. And actually for those parks, it was so specific that we hired someone who was doing parks in real life. So the guy who's making the parks actually shapes parks. And yeah, for him, it was super fun. It was like the best thing he's ever done because he shaped something and he could try it immediately. And all of it is based kind of on the actual like physics, like our gravity is the same gravity as you would have. Of course, people are flying higher, kickers are bigger. So it looks a bit more slow than in real life, but still, it's actually you would fly that high if you would go at that speed to a specific kicker. Yeah, we made some things more fun, like doing an ollie, for example. You jump higher than in real life. That's kind of balancing between realism and fun, I guess.
Of course, watching the Winter Olympics recently, I don't know what real life is anymore, because some of the folks, especially in the pipe, getting so high, it's like it was just crazy. So what I thought was really interesting about Shredders is that there's a story element. You start off as, a couple of YouTubers who aren't very popular, and like the reason you move to the next mountain is because you cause a little bit too much trouble, and you just need to leave, and you take the bus to another ski slope. But you did have major riders like Olympian Jamie Anderson appear. So how was it, collaborating with some of the biggest names in snowboarding? You talked about a terrain developer, but some of the boarders themselves, what did they bring to the game?
Well, it was super funny to get them into the game because it wasn't the plan at first. And then Seba the Book, he's a Belgian snowboarder, but he appears in a lot of movies. So that's a great style of snowboarding. And we just invited him because we wanted a real snowboarder to test our game. And it was like 2 years ago, like a very early version. And he was like, oh, this is awesome. Can I be in the game? And I was like, yeah. The team was like, okay, but then we'll have to have more snowboarders. And then someone was like, yeah, but I have those contacts. I know all these people. So we just set up a list of people that we really liked, different kind of aspects of snowboarding, because they all have their unique style. And almost everyone immediately said yes, and we just tried working with them as much as possible. We recorded their voices, we scanned in all their clothing, and it was all remote because of COVID. We were hoping that we could fly to these resorts and ski ourselves, but yeah, in the end, maybe for the best, so we could just work on the video game. But still, it was pretty awesome to see all those people and trying to get also, for example, their replays. We've watched a lot of their real snowboarding and trying to kind of capture how they snowboard and translating that into movement. It was a very interesting experience, and they've all been like super helpful, and most of them are super stoked to play it themselves. So Someone like Marcus Cleveland is a big gamer. So yeah, I guess he'll be playing the game today.
Athletes and gaming. That's like that's the thing. Yeah, and I'm sure you have fun. Now you got to bring it around to the mountain to them to, you know, just take an Xbox Series S and, you know, bring it to them, let them play it there. We'll help you out with that. It seemed like you had a lot of fun making the game, hearing these stories. And I noticed something, you know, every sports game, especially extreme sports game, they lead off with a warning. And yours said the shredding in this game was performed by indie game developers. Did you do any of the mocap? Like, or are you guys just
actually fun? We did not we did some of the mocap. Like you'll see the looking back, or that was actually mocap at our studio. So all the cutscenes, obviously, but like the actual in-air grabs and stuff, like those. There's a lot of tech behind the movement system and trying to sync it with the physics itself. I think that's one of the craziest aspects of the game, and it's been in development for several years, like way more than this video game itself. And so we kind of like at any point we can like pause the game and see, okay, this is kind of unrealistic, and then we kind of tweak it. And it helps that like me and Marcus, like Marcus is the guy that's doing most of the animations in game, like the procedural ones. He's actually also a snowboarder, like an avid snowboarder. So we know what to do. Like we know if you turn your arms like this, where you will head out. And when I was young, I would just also go to a jump and just try stuff out. So I've broken a lot of bones in that process, but still, as long as if you're a snowboarder yourself, you know what's going to happen if you do a specific move, and it can be like 100% realistic, because otherwise you'll react too slowly or you wouldn't have fun. Mm. But yeah, that's kind of the balance.
Awesome. Dirk, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you are able to get a few more runs out here, some spring skiing. There's still some snow there. I'm sure you can have a couple bluebird days if you're able to get out there soon. Congratulations on launch. And for the rest of you, Shredders, it is available now through Xbox Game Pass. So download it, give it a try.
Thank you to Andrew and Dirk for coming on the show and talking about Tunic and Shredders. Both look really cool. I'm excited to try Shredders personally as a snowboarder. I don't know. Jeff, have you guys been playing that one?
I have not had a chance to check it out yet. Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, I've played the first hour or so. Some of the questions that you heard me ask came from there's someone on our team who's like a much better snowboarder, and he played a lot. And so he helped me out with some of those. But yeah, it's a you feel the snow, if that makes sense, if you're snowboard like it, but you don't always feel that in, I would say, certain like sort of super extreme sports. It's fun, it's more arcadey. This I really felt like I was carving, I guess.
Right.
You weren't just like on a rope. Like there's certain things you can't do, or you will catch an edge and just like fall over. And I felt like it captured that pretty well. So enjoying it.
Awesome. We got some news coming up here. Jeff, I know you've got a bunch of tabs open there. Why don't you get ripping on those?
All right. So we just talked about Tunic surprise launch into Xbox Game Pass, which was awesome. And that was part of a larger ID at Xbox showcase on Twitch, which was hosted by good friends of Xbox, good friends of the show, Andrea Renee and Okadrian. They're awesome folks and big proponents of indie games. And so a number of games were announced during that time. Definitely recommend if you check out Xbox Wire, click on the ID at Xbox section. A lot of talk about a lot of those games. And so some really cool stuff. They also had a lot of, if you want to watch the VOD, it's over on twitch.tv/twitchgaming or twitch.tv/Xbox. There's a lot of like professional wrestlers that were in the stream. It was all over. There's a lot of good stuff, but really deep dives into some really cool games, like Floppy Knight, and I don't know. It was just some really cool stuff. So definitely recommend you take a look at that, because the indie game space is just like thriving, and it's just really cool that there's always new stuff to play that can be dramatically different one from the next. You have a favorite indie game recently?
I think probably because I did the interview with Tunic, and I have been playing that for a little bit, so I'm really enjoying Tunic so far. It just feels, and I even said it during the interview, feels got a little Breath of the Wild-esque for us. It's not in the Breath of the Wild like Elden Ring. It's a little different than that, but I'm enjoying that so far.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the line between like indie game is getting blurred so much these days, because indie games used to be like, you know, they almost felt like projects like a long time ago. But now it's like, it's really hard to tell the difference between like a, you know, like a really full fledged release and then like an indie game. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to hear more suggestions for games like it, like really good indie games that people have found lately. So, you know, head over to on Spotify. We're taking you know, answers, like input from the community. So if you guys have any recent indie games that you've been trying or any that you think look really cool, we would love to hear about them and get a heads up.
Yeah, scroll down. If you're watching on Spotify, you just scroll down and you'll see a little question. I'll put it in there and it'll pop up. And we'll, and Rebecca, maybe next week you can read some of those suggestions and attribute it to certain people.
Yeah.
Larry, cool. I teed you up, but one of your favorite indie games of the last year was The Pedestrian, wasn't it?
It was. It's funny because if scroll back the video or listen, I was hesitating because to Rebecca's point, I was like, was that an indie game or not? Because it feels like the lines are blurred. But yeah, that absolutely was one of my favorites.
Yes. Yeah. It is difficult to tell sometimes, but I do believe that would qualify as an indie title.
Yes.
I haven't been on the show in a couple weeks, which is why.
What other news do we have, Jeff?
Bombed about Elden Ring, but you may have missed. We didn't have a chance to talk about from last week an update on the Xbox sustainability efforts.
Oh yeah,
and there's a whole blog post on that. But there's something that you can do. It's something that I have done to save a significant amount of electricity. It's like, what can I do? Sometimes you look at things, you look at like these big intractable problems, like
what's my, you know,
global warming, what can I do? But there's something that anyone who owns an Xbox can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, if you have an Xbox Series X or S, you just go in there, and I believe we've got that on the Xbox One. You can just go in there and we have a setting called Energy Saver Mode. So you just go to Settings, Sleep Mode and Startup, Sleep Mode, Energy Saver. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much straightforward to do that. And with that, it consumes, if I remember correctly, 20 times less energy. And it'll still take the updates for the games. It'll be a little bit slower to turn on when you're waiting for it to boot up. But that's a small trade-off for the energy that you're going to be saving when you use Energy Saver Mode. So if you've got your console, I recommend turning it on. I know I have it on. Jeff, hopefully you and Rebecca have it turned on. It's really straightforward and helps save the energy. So that is your simple go do right now is go set Energy Saver Mode on your console.
One of the reasons I didn't used to have it on Energy Saver Mode, I had it on standby where it would turn on quickly. And really the difference in turning it on is like, I don't know, 7 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
But was because I wanted to take the updates. But the fact that the system's able to update, games are able to update while on Energy Saver Mode, there's really no reason not to use it. And so, like you said, highly recommend you do.
Just checking to make sure I have it on, because I think I may have shut it off or I was testing something. So I'm just going to quietly go
over here. Larry, don't be a do as I say person.
I know. That's why I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Good. We're going to hold you to it. I'm going to audit all your consoles because I know you have several.
Yep,
hey, let's talk about more.
It was on.
You're off camera, so we'll just have to trust you.
We trust you, yeah.
It was on. Trust you. So let's talk more games. Game Pass, you talked about Shredders. Shredders now available as part of Xbox Game Pass, and a number of games that were announced this week that are coming to Xbox Game Pass, such as The Dungeon of Nahulbuk, Tainted Grail, Zero Escape, which is the Nonary games, which is not the type of game we always see on Xbox, that is coming on cloud console and PC for Game Pass. Norco F1 2021, had a lot of fun with that earlier in the year. Was sort of my introduction to F1 racing. Well, it's coming to console through the magic of EA Play if you are an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate member. Crusader Kings 3, one of the best games of the year last year on PCs. It's coming to console through the ID at Xbox. Coming to Game Pass on Xbox Series S and X only. It is a next-gen game coming out on March 29th. And here's one that I think we'll be talking about.
Yes.
Weird West, coming out on March 31st, available day one.
What
on
makes
X
it weird,
on Game Pass.
Yeah. What makes it weird?
It's a dark fantasy of reimagining of the Wild West. So just taking a look at this game, looking at some footage of it, looking at the visuals. This looks like a really interesting title. Yeah. And it comes out in about 2 weeks. So definitely keeping an eye on this. Again, day one with Game Pass for cloud, console, and PC.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Rebecca. It looks interesting. It almost looks kind of like almost like Telltale games, Telltale Borderlands style, like art-wise. Looks very cool.
That cel-shaded that we all loved.
Yeah, very cool.
Nifty.
Yes, so it was announced about a year and a half ago. It's coming from Wolf Eye Studio. So should be cool to look at. All right, Rebecca, I don't call in a lot of favors, but since you sort of, you know, you did me wrong on the Japanese whiskey thing, I need a new hoodie or a polo. These look Lacoste.
Wait a minute.
Minecraft. These look awesome. Tell us about it.
Yeah, tell us about this because I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, we have a new collection that launched this week with Lacoste. We actually held an event in Paris last week. And
why did you not go?
I didn't work super closely on this one. As you know, like business travel is still a little
sketchy,
you know, with the pandemic, but we did have some folks from Redmond and Stockholm who flew out to Paris and went to the launch event. It looked really cool. I did have FOMO, so thank you for that. But the collection itself is really cool. It's a lot of like kind of athleisure lifestyle wear, which is obviously very in right now. We had some really cool like in-stuff game that launched with it too. So there was a free map that's available in the Minecraft Marketplace. That's, I think it's called Croco Island. It's pretty neat. It has a lot of Lacoste and crocodile themed stuff.
Are they playing tennis?
If you check out the Minecraft.net blog post, you'll learn a little bit about crocodiles also. I think I read something like crocodiles have like 80 teeth and they replace them like 5 times in their lifetime or something like that, which is kind of wild. And then there's also a server that we launch. I know, don't ask. I can't elaborate on it further than that.
Larry, bring up the visuals. Let's see these things.
Hold on.
Let's go shopping. Come on.
Give me a moment. I'll get it loaded.
Our producer's
here.
Asleep at the wheel.
Hey. I'm trying to produce and host and these things.
He's enjoying listening to me talk about crocodiles with my half-witted knowledge. But then also in-game, there's a server that we launched. And so it takes different elements from the free map and then makes it competitive. So it's actually a PvP server. So, you know, if you want to try that out, highly recommend it. You got to show us the goods, Larry. Can you scroll down? Yeah, so that's a screenshot from Croco Island. Looks pretty cool. I like crocodiles. I saw some really cute crocodile videos over the weekend. Yeah, and then These are some content creator friends who also agreed to double as models. I think they look great.
They do.
In the different Lacoste partnered clothing, which also looks
pretty cool.
I actually really like this.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I really like that white top that she's wearing. It's basically the same thing I'm wearing right now, but cooler. So
Wait a minute.
It's Mari Takahashi. Anything that she's doing is cool. Like that's just how it goes.
So is that because I want to bring something up after you're all done, Rebecca? Because
have at it.
We're talking about Lacoste. We're talking about alligators, and who strolls into the show wearing the wrong alligator?
Wait,
look at this.
Oh,
the gator right there, and that's
funny.
Help me show my school spirit, Rebecca, with that yellow. That yellow Minecraft Lacoste hoodie. Like, why would you you're Syracuse people. There's no connection here, but like upgrade my gator to a croc.
Yes. Okay.
I like the orange.
All right.
But yeah.
I do too.
I know. I was hoping that we could get some stuff from the collection. I'm still working on it.
All right. Well, Jeff would be happy to do an unboxing, as would I.
Yes.
I don't know.
Modeling, whatever you want to do.
All right.
Let's talk about a couple more news bits.
Yeah.
So do you remember Ashen?
Came
out a few years ago. It was made, it was sort of a, it had comparisons to a Souls game. It was made by A44 Games, I believe in New Zealand. And really cool game. And they announced their next game, which is going to be coming or launching day one with Xbox Game Pass, and it's called Flintlock. So there's a trailer over on Xbox Wire. very excited for this. Like their first game was Ashen, and that if that's your first game, like that's a great start. So it's been a few years. I want to say that was 2018. That was the game that I hit 100,000 gamer score on.
Congratulations.
So thank you. That was a couple of years ago at this point. But anyway, Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, we'll be hearing more about it. We don't have a date, but we do know that if you're an Xbox Game Pass member, you'll be playing it day one.
You're in.
So what are you doing next week? What are you doing on March, I don't know, 24th?
You're going to tell 23rd, me. You're going to tell 24th. Me.
What are we
we're
doing?
Gonna be watching Halo, the TV series.
Oh, that's right. Paramount Plus.
So so next week, there is a trailer. I know there's like some premiere, and you know, I'm sure they'll be walking the red carpet and doing all that stuff that they do with you know, in Hollywood. But we all get to watch it. And if you don't have Paramount Plus, first of all, if you're a soccer fan, Paramount Plus has been very good to me in terms of getting you know, Champions League and stuff like that. But if you are not, starting on March 23rd, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members are getting 30 days of Paramount Plus free with perks. So you can claim it on the 23rd, and then you'll be able to watch the first 30 days, you know, of the show. The show is not bingeable. I think it's one every week.
Yeah, it's episodic. It'll
which drop. I like, because then everyone's talking about it at the same time. Yeah. That's my personal taste. Some people like to sit down and watch 8 hours of TV at once. Not what I can do. Anyway, not when
Elden Ring.
Too
busy with Elden Ring.
It's true. Anyways, a week from now we'll have watched and we can talk about episode one. So that'll be good. And last thing, just want to mention a free trial that is going on now until March 21st. That is Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Yep.
Diablo 2, many agree, one of the best games ever made. Certainly fun. Upgraded, resurrected, if you will. And so if you haven't tried it, you can try up to 3 hours for free. So just look for that on your dash.
All right. We have to wrap it up because I actually, I just realized apparently part of my house is circuit breaker blue. So I have to go deal with that.
Ooh, okay.
Kept the show going. That's good.
Exactly. So anyway.
Well, it's nice to have you guys back this week.
Thanks, gang. All right. Great work, everybody. Rebecca, again, great job last week. Jeff, thanks for the interview this week and the news. We'll be back next week with more interviews, more show. We got some great stuff lined up for you guys. So thanks again. Anything you guys want to say before we roll out?
Nope. Have a nice weekend.
All right.
Nope. You were good. You're rolling. I didn't want to stop you.
All right. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye, everybody.